Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus. It's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
All right, let's get her going. We're going to do the Growing in Grace podcast. I am Joel Briesky, along with Mike Kapler, the Breezeman and the Cap, getting together for our weekly talk about God's grace and love and His goodness and kindness and how about his finished work, about all the things that he has done. And when we talk about the finished work of Christ and how it's not about our works, it's not about our deeds, we're never saying that it's bad to do good works. it's good to do good, and we can live our lives, our daily lives, as we get to know God and His love and all these things and see some good things develop. But what about a person who isn't going about doing good? I mean, we'll talk about some things this week. Let's get started with this. I was sharing beforehand this post that I saw online. I don't know who this person is. Like I've talked about, these things just show up in my feed. I think in this case it's because somebody else that's a friend of mine is commenting on this person's things, and so they show up in my feed. Anyway, this person says, I won't mention the name, but and it's a video that he does, and I haven't watched the video, but the title, The Doctrine of Faith Without Works is Evil. It's in all caps. The doctrine of faith without works is evil. And so today we're not getting into a discussion about James or Paul versus James, although some of that might come up, you never know. But I look at that and I compare it to what Paul did say. So if,
hey Joel, I think we need to clarify. Because yes. I think people could take that comment two different ways. Mm. He's coming from the legalistic perspective.
Right. Yeah, and the rest of his statement here says, he says, the doctrine of faith without works is evil. Say what you want. Do what you want. It's atheism at its core. That's what he's making a case for, that, this doctrine of faith without works, it's evil. And in one of his comments on there, somebody asked him a question, and he said, somebody said, is it in the scriptures? And he says, faith alone without works? Yes, it's mentioned as the faith of the devils. And so faith without works, he's saying, is mentioned as the faith of the devils. Now, we've talked a lot about James and Paul in the past. Like I said, we're not necessarily going there this week, but let's look at what Paul did say about faith without works. And then we got some stuff kind of bouncing off some things we talked about last time that we'll get to. But Paul says in Romans 4, what shall we say then that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. So justification, if it's by works, if Abraham did enough works to be justified, then he could boast. But not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So if it was all about Abraham's works, then God owes him the debt of righteousness. God can declare Abraham righteous by his works, and not by his faith, and not by grace. But, verse 5 of Romans 4, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. God who justifies the ungodly. To him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So that apparently, according to this person, is the doctrine of demons. it's the faith of the devils. So Paul is, of course, of the devil. If he's saying that you don't have to work, it's the person who does not work but believes in God, in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So, what do we do with all this stuff? This Are works good? Should we do good works? Since Paul says it's him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So is there anything, is our works bad? And what do we do with all this?
Well, look, there are a lot of people out there in churchianity, and probably a lot who listen to our podcast, who come here looking for some reassurance, really. I mean, this grace thing, is it everything that is cracked up to be? Is it as good as it sounds? Is it really true? Or, you know, is there something we have to add to it? There's all kinds of different thoughts and feelings out there that people go through, different emotions. And sometimes it leaves them feeling like they're hanging, that they're not sure. They develop a certain amount of fear and anxiety based on a Sunday sermon sometimes. So we want to bring some assurance to people that Jesus got the job done. Did he get the job done or did he not? Do we need to add to it with stuff that we do? So, yeah, if somebody's going to accuse you of having the faith of a demon, that's not very reassuring, is it? Right. I mean, that doesn't seem like very good news. But that's the kind of stuff, that's the sort of rabbit trails that people like to go down. And you'll notice that people who go down these trails, much like the Jews who were under the law and were trying to attain to righteousness by doing that law and trying to follow it and keep it, they kind of felt, generally speaking, as long as they were abiding by all the ceremonial things that kept them cleansed, they kind of felt like they were in a place where they could attain to righteousness. They thought that from the beginning. They thought, we will do this thing, and it will be righteousness for us. That's what they said at Mount Sinai. But Paul explained in Romans 9, it didn't happen. In fact, something remarkable happened that we talked about quite a bit here on the podcast, and that is we Gentiles, non-Jewish people, who were not covenant people, we really had no hope, no God, no covenant. We weren't doing anything to try to get righteousness, and yet somehow we were overwhelmed with it. Righteousness came to us without us even pursuing it, whereas the Israelites were chasing after it and never attained it. How does that make any sense? But that's the gospel. And so people would think that they were following this law and that they were in a good place with God under that Mosaic law. And so we got people today who talk about this kind of stuff that you're referring to, Joel, who somehow seem to think that they are doing enough. And so it kind of wipes faith out, because faith and works are opposite. The law of works was not based on faith. And I know we talk a lot about this stuff, but we need to hear it. I need to hear it over and over again, because there's just so many other things that come our direction that aren't the gospel. Sometimes by well-meaning people who are often respected within the, you know, the religious Christian community. So with that, you know, you just gave a great one there with Romans 4. And of course, Paul led up to that in Romans 3, that for by works no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been revealed or manifested apart from the law of works. And yet the law and the prophets bear witness to it, a witness to Christ. So the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ comes upon all who believe, and there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile on that front. And you can go to Galatians 2, you can go to Galatians 5, you can go to Galatians 3. I mean, you can go to all these, you can go to Colossians and Philippians and all these different places where Paul talked about faith, eternity, salvation, righteousness, justification, sanctification, all of these things came as a gift available to the human race through the person of Jesus Christ, who did everything necessary for us to attain these things. But you'll still have all the people out there saying, yes, but, Let me go to Matthew 6. Now, this is in the middle of the so-called Sermon on the Mount, and it's a little bit before he gets to the Lord's Prayer, as we call it. He says, beware of practicing, compare this to what you just read, Joel. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to those who are in need, don't sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they be praised by others. Truly I say to you that they have their reward. But when you give, don't let your left hand know what the right hand is doing. Just do it in secret. Don't have to boast about it. And your Father will reward you in the same way. And when you pray, you don't have to be like the hypocrites, standing out there so everybody can see you. But go somewhere where, you know, people won't necessarily see you. I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but you can see it there at the beginning of Matthew 6. And so so Joel, there's a Greek word. I don't know. Maybe some of our older or more seasoned listeners would be familiar with the Greek word. It's called douadidi, diddy dum, diddy do.
There she was. And,
you know, it's all about do it. You know, hear and do. That, as we mentioned, I think last week, the ministry of hearing and doing. That was the law. It's the ministry of look at me, the very ministry that Jesus warned people not to get caught up in. But do I diddy dum diddy do. What is that? Remember that song, Joel? That was from the 60s.
Yeah.
You know who sang it? Manfred Mann.
Manfred Mann in the Earth.
He had a popular song called Blinded by the Light back in the 70s, but this was like early 60s. Do I diddy diddy dum diddy do. So we could rechange the lyrics a little bit. We could say, there he was just a praying on the street, singing do-wah-diddy-diddy-dum-diddy-do, giving their money so that everyone can see.
Okay.
Singing do-wah-diddy-diddy-dum-diddy-do. They looked good, looked good. They looked fine, but that's all it was.
We've got a regular Weird Al here.
So this idea that we somehow have to prove our faith. I know I'm going a little long here. I feel like I'm leaving you out, but I got to make a point.
Yeah, I'm going to quote a verse here in a second. Yeah, but go ahead.
Yeah, don't forget it. Don't forget it. The point I want to make here is there are people who don't necessarily claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, but because they are humans who have a connection to their Creator, they have the ability and they can choose to show compassion to people. They can give to those in need. They can not show partiality. They can do all of these good things without ever claiming to do it in the name of Christ. They just want to do it. And I don't know their motivation. Maybe deep down they sort of feel like they're trying to score points with God or something. I don't know. But for people who think that you can't fake fruit, that you somehow you can't be a person of faith unless it's being demonstrated for people to see, I think that is not going in the direction of the gospel, because there are people who are believers in Christ who may not always demonstrate it outwardly. And then there are people who aren't believers in Christ who do appear to be demonstrating what would look like fruitful activity. So how do you determine whether somebody is truly a Christian versus somebody is not based on what you see? That's not faith. Faith isn't going by what we see, correct? It's by what we don't see. That which is eternal is not seen. That which is not eternal, that which is temporary, is what we see. And so I don't know why, and somehow even the grace people get caught up with this. I'm not sure how we end up sliding down this slope, where we suddenly get our eyes on that which is seen, that we somehow have to prove the evidence of our faith when the evidence is found in a person that we are not seeing per se, but he lives within us.
Okay, are you done?
No, I'm not done, but I'm stopping out of courtesy to you.
Well, that was all good stuff, but my next time I'm going to quote Job 13:13. Keep silent and let me speak.
Oh, brother.
But no, that was all good stuff, and I was.
Are you mocking me? Because you said 13:13, right?
Yeah,
that's like Mockingbird Lane with the monsters.
Mockingbird 13. Oh, I didn't know that. But when you get back to all your old music, there, we have a right to mock you. Well, although, I was going to quote another song by the Police that has to do with all this. Do do do, da 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 da. That's all I want to hear from you. That's all I hear from you. That do, do, do. It's mm-hmm. the ministry of do, do, do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of people have. It's all that they want to preach, all that they want to hear is what we have to do. Do, do, do. It's all about doing. The ministry of do, and indeed the ministry of look at me, look at what I'm doing. I think that I was infected by that early on in my walk with the Lord. I really wanted people to see what I did. I made probably much more of a show out of the things that I did so that other people would see and that would know that it was me that was doing things. And really, my praise was from men and not from God, as Paul talked about. So, this whole thing about righteousness, the gospel, Paul declares the gospel in Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So righteousness is a gift. It's not something we earn by what we do. There's nothing that we can do to earn a gift. We've talked about it many times where if somebody gives you a gift, it's because they want to give you something that you did not earn. Whether it's a birthday gift, Christmas gift, or just a gift out of the blue, they don't want repayment. You don't repay somebody for a gift. Otherwise, it's not a gift. That's not a gift. It's an exchange. They're exchanging what they do or what they have for something that you have. When we receive the gift of righteousness, God is giving us his own righteousness in exchange for nothing that we do. We haven't done anything to receive this gift except to believe upon him and receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And so this whole thing about doing and trying to, be seen and thinking that if you don't have what other people can see, thinking that you have to do things that people can see, it can lead to one of two things, well, probably more, but the two main things I think it leads to is fear and anxiety, from people who fear that they're not doing it enough. They're not doing enough. They're not being seen enough. Their works are not being shown enough. So they wonder if they're saved. They wonder if they have enough works, if they're doing it right. And the other side of things, the people who really don't have the fear and anxiety it's the people who think that they're actually doing it, who actually think that they're doing it or are doing enough or doing it well enough. And so they think that God is approving them because of their works. And the truth is that no matter what show people put on, no matter, if you've got a preacher or if you've got a friend or if you got a family member or anybody who kind of acts like they're doing well enough and you aren't, or other people aren't, or they're boasting in what they do and putting down other people at the same time for not doing enough or not having enough works or whatever, they're resting. They might be at rest, but they are resting in their own works, and that is not the way that we are made right with God or receive the righteousness of God. They can boast all they want, and they can put you down all they want, but they're no more right with God than anybody else, because the way to be right with God is purely by faith. It's only by his grace. We'll wrap this one up, and maybe we'll talk some more next week about some of this stuff. But I've been listening to a podcast called REST, capital R-E-S-T, Recovering from Spiritual Trauma. Mike and Susan Adams from the Grace Cafe podcast were interviewed on this a couple of years ago, I think it was, and Mike, of course, from the Unsunday show as well. And I remember listening to their episodes back then, but it popped up on my, I think, my Spotify feed, and so I went back to the beginning and been listening to it. But it's a mother and her grown daughter who basically spent 17 years, I think it was, in what they call a high control church situation. And so this ideology, all this doctrine of your works have to be seen, and your righteousness, you have to have a certain amount of righteous acts and good works and all this stuff. Another thing it leads to is people feeling like they need to control other people. They might not word it that way, that a pastor might not say, I'm trying to control people, but it's really what they're doing. And it leaves people, again, with a lot of fear, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, a lot of feeling like they can never measure up when God just simply says, rest in me, rest in what I have done and not in what you can do. That's not where we rest. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's how we have peace with God, just having been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through him.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.